We appreciate the Moores. They did a wonderful job in our children's revival this past summer, and then stayed over for a youth Sunday and just did an awesome job, and we appreciate them so very much. And want Brother Moore to come and take his liberty this morning and tell us what the Holy Ghost has spoken to him.
Praise God. Hallelujah. A bunch of... Thank you. You know, you can turn off my monitors if that helps. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. A bunch of crazy people running around like that. You act like you have a reason to be happy or something. Just what I'm talking about. Oh, mercy. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise God. I had the coolest thing happen to me yesterday. I was invited to church. To this church, actually. I was at Target. And people close like it. Like 10, 11 o'clock. I'm like, what's super about that? But sure enough, we was walking around and had a lady stop us and say, are you apostolic? I'm like, yeah. I love it. And I was like, well, do you have someplace to go to church tomorrow? I was like, yep. Like, where? I was like, Bud Sutton's. Oh, that's where I go. Do you know, Pastor, that's only the second time I've ever been invited to church since I've been traveling. Which kind of concerns me. Because it's like if you're apostolic, you're just scared of them. Now, I can understand other people being scared of apostolics. I mean, look at us. But, I mean, why are we so scared of each other? And what really worries me, Pastor, if nobody's inviting me, and I look nice. I'm not scary looking. Are we inviting other people? And it's so cool to go to a church where they're actually going to invite you to church. I am. Yeah, we was there last night. I told my wife, I don't feel well. You know what fixed this? Buongiorno's. Buongiorno's is like the cure for everything. No, I was telling somebody yesterday, my mom and my wife are with me, and Travis is here. He's 7 months. Hallelujah. You'll probably hear him later. He preaches with me. Ah! So that means praise the Lord, Dad. Keep preaching. But thank you, Pastor, for having me. Preaching here is cheating. You know, as an evangelist, you preach off in a lot of places, and you really minister, and there's a lot of avenues. I've been to some churches where you minister to the pastor, or you minister to kids and saints, you know. God has you in a lot of places for a lot of different reasons, but coming here is like cheating. It's like you absorb so much when you're here. It's like it's not fair to come and preach to people because y'all giving to me more than I can give back. I really, you know, Brother King said it. Oh, it's so good to be here with you, Brother King. You're the greatest. My wife's known them since there it was before a Sister King, right? Yeah. Yeah, quite a while. My wife's from the same church, and so I was so excited when I found out they were here, but he said it right. It's the worship, it's all that. But you know what I think the difference is? I think it's the guitar playing. Just think about it. Anyhow, it's quite intense. And that was the coolest thing with that missionary. I want to find out how you did that. That is like, man, you know, you ought to be thankful for a pastor who's willing to stick you in another country. I mean, think about it. I believe I said this last time I was here. I believe the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And I believe if you have only a vision for your own family, you're not going to get anywhere. If you have a vision for your church, you might reach your family. If you have a vision for your state, you'll reach a city. But if you have a vision for the world, you'll reach the nation. I believe we should have a vision across this world. Sam, I'm so geared up. I'm just like beside myself. But it's very intimidating. I mean, you got all these great preachers and stuff here. So I want to ask your permission. Can I just keep it simple today? I had another message, and it would have been a lot of fun to preach, but, you know, I went over this one. There was like a fire in my gut. I'm like, ooh, there's going to be somebody there. hallelujah, that's going to really need this. And so that's why I'm just shaking. I'm so excited. But if you don't mind, see, I don't mind preaching as long as God ministers. Yeah, there's a big difference there. So I don't mind preaching to you. And I wish I had anointing, but I'm not. See, the difference is anointing is not handed. See, he brought me a glass of water, and that was very sweet. And I could throw the water on you, but I can't throw anointing on you. The only way the preacher's anointed is if you pull it from them. So you got to do a couple of things. You got to come to church with your problems. Now, wait a minute. Don't be a problem in church. There is a difference there. But come to church with your problems and say, God, answer this. Lord, speak to me. Feed me. Not talk to my neighbor because she's a real irritation. She needs it. God, touch this man because he's honoring. No. God, speak to me. And if we can condition ourselves, and that's what worship is about. If we can condition ourselves, our pastor and ministers can minister to us, and the anointing will flow from heaven into the congregation. So anointing is not given. It is received. Hallelujah. Let's all stand just for a minute. I want us to pray. I want you to pray for me. I want you to ask God to anoint us, that God will speak to us. I just want to be a mouthpiece. I want to preach as God ministers. I want him to plant something in us to make us world changers. Lord, in the name of Jesus, ask you to minister to this congregation today. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds, God. Flow through us this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I want to talk to you about the power of three. Isn't that great? You know, I thought we'd be preaching about something other than numbers, huh? Feels like Sesame Street. But I have no letter, just a number. My number's three. Since we're going to talk about three, let's talk about one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You know, Pastor, I could never understand how people could get a revelation of one God before they got Jesus' name baptism. Because Jesus' name baptism is just written in black and white. One God's a revelation. But I've had quite a... You can start my PowerPoint in there. Though they play in back there. Put up solitaire. No, I'm kidding. But I finally figured out why it's important to know that there is one God. You see, I'm married. Do you know who I'm married to? I don't know. She's one of them women over there. How would you like to wake up in the morning and not have any idea who you're married to, Pastor? Now, they tell me I'm married. They tell me she's pretty and that she's a really sweet lady, but I really don't know much about her. Now, see, that seems crazy, but yet we serve God that way. Well, I serve God, and I hear he's really cool, and I hear he's really great, and I've given my whole life up for him. Do you know anything about him? Well, not really. Mm-hmm. So, it's very important to know who and what kind of God you serve. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Okay, but well, watch this. Let me show you a couple of things. Here's a fun one, starting with our threes. 3:16. Let's go with John. Can you put John 3:16 up there? I'm going to need somebody to read. Who wants to read? I picked somebody and they about passed out last time, so I need a volunteer. You got a mic? Who's got a Bible and wants to read? Okay, I'm going to have to pick somebody. I'll press the button. Yeah, I got a light. You gonna read for me? You got a Bible? You're gonna need a Bible. Oh, you got a Bible? That's nice of you to volunteer. Okay. Okay, you don't have to read this one. Just hold off. I'll tell you when. And don't start preaching either. Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of a sudden, everybody's confused. Okay, so let's go to 1 John. Same dude writing. 1 John. What's 1 John 3:16 say?
Hereby we perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life.
Wait, back up. Say, therefore what?
Perceive we the love of God.
The love of who? Okay. Because what?
He laid down
who
his
did?
Life. God laid down.
Okay, laid down his life for us, and he ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Can you put that up there? Watch this. All scripture is given by their inspiration to God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction. Well, since it's important for instruction and righteousness, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:16. This is where it gets fun. Now, I'm going to need you to read this, but I'm going to read it first. Is that okay? You don't mind? Okay. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, no argument. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. Okay, bring my PowerPoint back up there. Now, you ready to read? Isn't this great? Now, wait, hold on. First of all, if you don't know what you're teaching, how are you going to be teaching it?
Right.
Had the coolest thing happen to my dad the other day, and he's not even going to church at this point, and he had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses show up, and they began to talk to him, and he said, "Something come over me?" I'm like, "Yeah, something," like he don't know. And he started talking to these guys. He said, before I was done, they was ready to leave. He said, I told them, and I thought, what a remarkable statement. He says, I told them, you better think about what you're teaching. He said, because if you're right, they's like, well, what if we're right? He said, well, then you go to sleep because they don't believe in hell. You know, you just go to sleep, you're fine. He's like, but if you're wrong, you are responsible for a lot of people. And I got to thinking about that. Uh-oh.
Amen.
They're going to be responsible for a lot of people. What about the people who say they know? So you better know enough to hand to people whenever they say, feed me. Okay, watch this. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, start it up. 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, read. I gave you time.
And without controversy.
Wait. And without controversy. You can't argue, man. Great is what?
Greatest the mystery of God.
Okay, now the reason that part is so important is because there are people that do not believe in one God. They believe there are three gods. They believe there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, you know, there's a couple of things that confuse me. First of all, if that's true, the Father was not the Father, the Holy Ghost was the Father, because the Bible says the Holy Ghost moved upon Mary and there was Jesus. So there's a conflict of interest there. But let's look at this. Okay, who's the Son? Okay, y'all do know something. At least half of y'all do. Okay, and what did the Son do? Jesus came to earth. He roamed around. He got crucified. And he just flew back up into the sky, right? Went back to heaven. Hopefully y'all knew at least that much. If not, I'm going to back up. Y'all with me? Okay, so without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. See, the people that do not believe there's a one God, they try to explain it. Then they get to a point and they're like, well, it's just a great mystery. That's right. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, it doesn't end there. Is there more in that scripture? And it's all in the same scripture. Even man knew to break it apart in that one. Okay, keep going. What was the first thing?
God was manifest.
Wait, huh?
God was manifest.
Wait, who?
God.
God? Okay, start talking about God.
Manifest.
Wait, hold on. You got to understand this. We ain't talking about nothing other than God.
That's right. All right,
amen.
So now we're going to talk about God. Okay, what did God do? Keep going.
He was manifested in the flesh.
Okay, God was what? Manifested in the flesh.
Justified in the spirit.
Hold on, wait. God was manifested in the flesh.
God was manifested in the flesh.
Okay. Manifested in the flesh basically means he appeared in the flesh.
Right.
Water can manifest itself in steam. Water can manifest itself in liquid. Water can manifest itself in ice. The way it presents itself, God presented himself in flesh. Okay, God. Oh, watch this. It gets better. This is just the start. Okay, keep going.
Justified in the spirit.
Justified the spirit. Keep going.
Seen of angels.
So the angels saw him after he got here. Okay, and then what happened?
Preached unto the Gentiles.
He preached to who?
Gentiles.
So he preached to the Gentiles. God, right? God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels. He preached to Gentiles. And what else did God do?
Believed on in the world.
He was believed on in the world. Wait a minute. Okay, yeah, keep going. He was believed on the world.
Received up into glory.
And then went right back up into glory. Now, wait a minute. This is what confuses me. If that's not Jesus, who is that?
God.
That's right. It's God. But if Jesus is not God, then who is that? Because if Jesus is not God, then where'd this story go? The Bible says that God wrapped himself in flesh. He was justified the spirit, seen of angels. They believed on him in the world, and God went back up into heaven. This is so important, church. You got to wrap your head around this, because if you don't, everything else is nothing. Because if that's not Jesus, then who is it? All of a sudden, Timothy's talking about a story we've never heard of. Because God sent his son, so now there's a son. But when did God show up on the earth? Seen of angels preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world. Sit down. Oh, killing. Let me pause and say, I think I even mentioned this last time I was here. I was teaching at a place called White Pines, and we was teaching a bunch of boys. They, instead of going to prison, they went to this place. Did I tell you about that last time I was here? These guys, instead of going to prison, they go to this camp spot. And I've been teaching there, and we've had almost 50 kids and staff members baptized in Jesus' name. And, oh, but you got to understand, and this is what I started teaching, and the concept just kept getting tighter and tighter in me, and I began to realize how important it is for us to evangelize. And shortly thereafter, my mom lays this paper and says, you got to read this in a perspective. It began to talk about, did you read the article about evangelism? It says that, you know, we're preaching to the choir, and we like to preach to you people. Y'all fun. But, you know, we preach to us, and we got to get more evangelistical. And I thought, you know what? That concept doesn't just need to be in the pulpit. It needs to be in the saints. You don't just need to be going to work and going to school. You need to go to work to witness. You need to go to school to witness. You need to go to the mall so you can find somebody to talk to. You see, it wouldn't bother me if I was never invited to church, if I thought everybody was so busy inviting the saints that they weren't worrying about the apostolics. That wouldn't be so bad. But I'm watching them walk by, never talking to anybody. And my biggest fear is you just don't know. Because we become so educated. And we like, you know, to find treasures of making sure that we're faultless and staying on the rails. And, you know, we like the fun sermons and we like those. But let me give you something that will change your life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Let me introduce you to a God that loves you so much that he came down to this earth for you. I don't think we understand this concept so much. You see, we say we died for me, and we take that in a broad spectrum. No. The Bible says every time you sin, you crucify him anew. God lives in the past, the present, and the future. So every time you mess up, he goes back in time, places himself back on that cross, bleeds and dies for you. That's how much he loves you. Go to the next thing. Okay, let's think about this. Matthew 28:19. You want to read that one too? Is that one in your Bible? Oh, praise God. I love this. I still got time. You ready? Go for it.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Teach all nations.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Hold on just a second. You know, I love this because he was talking to his disciples, and we think that we have to reach the masses. I'm like, guys, just witness to somebody. Just witness to somebody. Just talk to somebody. Your goal is just to tell them, not to shake it and beat it into them. He said, go, because Jesus, he wound up with, I don't know, he had like 12 disciples, and a few disciples had 2 church splits in 3 years. You know, it's like, and he had these handful of people, and they said, oh, this is that which has turned the world upside down. They've revolutionized the world to this day, a handful of people. And you think you're nothing? Hello? Do you know what you can do in your schools, in your college, at your work? Sometimes it's the smallest little thing. What you got to do is pray, God, help me to go to this world. Help me to open up an avenue for me to witness. Keep going. Go ye therefore unto all the nations.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
What is of? You know how I know that? Because I cheated on the test. I was so good with finding prepositional phrases. I'd go through and just find them. I was making 95s and 98s. I was in 6th grade, I guess. All of a sudden, the teacher one day stepped up and says, we're going to have a test on prepositions. And I'm like, what's a preposition? And the girl says, the words that start prepositional phrases. I'm like, there's words that start this? Oh, no. I got worried. So I learned real quick there are particular words, and of is one of them. Little did I know this would be very important in my ministry. And sure enough, what is the name of the Son? Okay, now watch this. Let's think about this. Go ye therefore baptizing them in the name. Okay, and that's not plural, that's singular. In the name of. Bring that up. Of the what? First of all, he says, in the name of the Father. That's why it's important to know who we're serving.
Right.
The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's talk about me. Okay? First of all, my son is here. And he calls me, well, right now, okay? But he'll call me dad, okay? Because I'm his dad. So that's me. The second thing is my mom's here and she calls me son. I have a lot of jobs, but one of them is I'm a minister. Okay, but my son, when he gets older, is not going to look around and see three men walking through my home. Watch this. Circle those for me. You see, all three of those guys right there is one person. So if we can understand that, how come we can't? Circle that one for me. All those is one person. Because the name of me, throw it up there, is David. And the name of the son was Jesus. He said, I come in my Father's name, which is a title. I send the Holy Ghost in my name, which is Jesus. Okay. Since you had that, now let's move to the fun stuff real quick. Let's talk about the threes. The reason that the threes is, the three in the Bible means complete. Okay, I told you I'm going to keep it real simple this morning. Three is complete. Okay? I'll give you some examples. Watch this. The threes. The first thing you got to understand is three-dimensional. Height, width, and depth. If you built this room and had a height and width, you'd have a wall. But when you build a room and you have a height, width, and depth, you have a room. It can be three-dimensional because it has a height, width, and depth. It's complete. Bring up the next word. The gospel. Who can tell me what the gospel is? The good news. Not the definition, what it is. Now see, that's not like them other people baptized this way. Not what he repeated, what he said do. What is the gospel? Very good. You know, most people don't know that. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's a complete gospel. It is the access point of everything in our life. It is the center. The axis runs right through the middle of the earth, and the earth pivots on it. Right there. Everything spins around this. The word, science, history, our lifestyles, everything. God shoved this right through the middle of everything. This is it. I'll prove it. Threes. The death, burial, resurrection. Okay, let's go to the next thing. The threes. First of all, let's put those up there. Death, burial, resurrection. Now watch this. Keep going. Death is repentance. To die with him. To kill yourself. Not like literally. That's not like go ye out and hang yourself, you know. This is a spiritual death. This is where you say, God, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. The old man passes away and new man comes about. The way you used to be is gone. And I love that. God likes me the way I am. And they stick there. It's like, sure. And he loves you enough to change you into who you should have been. You know, how can you kill the old man and be a new man and still do the same things you used to do? And I was reading somewhere where it said, if the very position you were in the world is what was causing you to be lost, doesn't it just make sense to change? And the only way you can do that is know God. God, please forgive me. I want to please you. Let me show you a little sidebar here. I know people trying to get to heaven so they can get away from hell. That's impossible. You cannot run far enough away from hell. It's too wide, it's too deep, and it's too big. It's a different type of concept, but if you're trying to get the Holy Ghost and live for God so you don't go to hell, it's the wrong concept. Let me tell you what the right concept is. If you truly want to fall in love with the God that I'm talking about, if you want to meet him, fall in love with him, and be with him for an eternity, that's what it's about. Oh, it's the same thing. No. I know people that are ready to leave home and just get away. I never wanted to just leave home, get away. I'm like, I don't want to run from something. I want to get out to something. You know, people have asked, what are you doing? I didn't leave Union. I came to Birmingham. I was headed here. Where are you headed next? I'm headed to, I don't know, Lake Charles and San Antonio. I'm going places. I'm not leaving something. I don't want to run from hell. I want to fall in love with God. Because heaven is not going to be a place that's just consumed with people who are scared of going to hell. It's going to be consumed with people who have fallen in love with God, are willing to stand at his feet and worship him and love with him and be with him forever. That's why your concept has to change when you get to church, when you repent and cleanse yourself. It's not so you can be a good person. It's not so that you can just be right. It's so that you can be allowed to stand in the presence of God. And when you purge yourself, and when you cleanse yourself, and you stand before a Savior, and He wraps His arms around you, that's why you dance and shout in church. It's not because you're a good person. It's because He's a good God. Down. Y'all making me get off my notes. You got to repent. The next thing is buried with Him in baptism. The next thing is He resurrected, and that's the Holy Ghost. It's a new life. You see, this side is a complete plan. It's complete. There's three. It's complete. The other one, that's a complete salvation. That's right. Now, okay, watch this. Watch this. Let's bring it down to you. I'll bring it personal. Go to the next thing. Repent, be baptized, and get the Holy Ghost. Three. Now, how does that apply to you? Now, this is where essentiality and all that, this is where this gets fun. Watch this. You are made of three components: body, soul, and spirit. You have your psyche, your thought pattern. I learned that word from Brother Wilson, your psyche. Not psychic, that's your thoughts. Then you have a body, that's what gets fat. That's what likes a Krispy Kreme. Then you have your soul, your spirit, which lives eternally. Okay, you have your soul, that's your mind. That's the first thing it covers, repentance. That's the change in the mind. See, salvation covers your thought process. You see, we tend to think repentance is a change of location. No, that's a physical aspect. Repentance changes the way you think about things, your thought process, the things that you loved, the things you desired. That's not the Holy Ghost. We all think the Holy Ghost is going to change. No. It's your ability to repent, saying, God, change me. You know what? There are some people you can't be sorry for. There's some things you've done that you can't be sorry for. There's some people that you cannot forgive. That's why you got to put God into the equation. Because you can ask God, please help me to be sorrowful for these things if you're displeased with them. Help me to forgive this person because I can't forgive them because they're just irritating. You got to ask God to come into the equation and you change your mindset. You want to change a man's mind? Give him new information. You want to change your mind and repent? You put more of this word in it, it'll change your concept. Quit putting things in there that don't need to be going in there and purge yourself with that junk. And you start putting in what certain things are pure, what certain things are holy, what certain things are just, what certain things are good report. Think about these things. The second thing, watch this. The second thing is baptism. This covers the body. That's the physical part of you. So now God's taking care of your mind and He's taking care of your body. The Holy Ghost covers the spirit. It covers all the aspects. Now, here's the question. Go ahead and put that up. How do you apply the name? I mean, you think about this. Because there's a lot of people. Now, I know you Holy Rose get really excited about this. But think about this a minute before we go into this. If my people, which are called by my name. Called by my name. Now, here's what I find funny. Humble yourselves. Call yourself scumbags. Realize you're nothing but a bunch of dirt and mud and spit. And turn from all your wickedness and I'll heal their land. So, we expect our surrounding churches and other denominations and other places and other religions and all these other people and stuff to put enough prayer cover over our city. But the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name. Doesn't say people. Now, there's a lot of aspects in the Bible where it says if you pray, this happens. If you pay your tithes, this happens. These are biblical principles. But this scripture says if my people, which are called, there are certain things we are responsible for. Now, hold on. Watch this. You cannot put a name in a thought process. So repentance is gone. You cannot put a name in the thought process. You can't put a name on a spirit. Names are applied to physical things. Names are applied to a wall, a chair, a keyboard, carpet, a person. These are physical things. Names, that's what names are applied to, is physical name. That's why when God was manifested in the flesh, there was a physical name put on a physical body. So how do you apply the name? Because a name is a physical thing, it's got to be in baptism. So when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, it's a whole nother world. All power in heaven and earth is given to you whenever you baptize in Jesus' name. Think about this a minute before we go to the next thing. Now, let's do this, and then I'll throw that at you. The gospel. Now, does this apply into the Old Testament? Yes, types and shadows. Does anybody not know what types and shadows are? If you don't understand types and shadows, you miss a lot about preaching. Okay, so watch this. You have a tree. That's a physical thing. Up in the sky, you have the sun. When the sun hits the tree, what does it create? Rocket science, ain't it? Okay, now watch this. The New Testament was never given to explain itself. The New Testament was just given to do. That's the physical thing. The Old Testament was given to explain the New Testament. Always. And Revelation says that God sits on the throne and there's no need for a sun because he is the light. He says, I am the light. So whenever God shines on these physical things, he explains it in the Old Testament. I'll give you a quick example. Sin, a type of sin, or a shadow, or an explanation of sin would be leprosy. You know what leprosy does? It kills your nerves. You don't feel anything. All of a sudden, you get this sickness and this disease, and your arm falls off. You're like, oh, my arm fell off. You know, you don't feel it. And all of a sudden, your nose is falling off, and you'll be talking about, I feel fine. You know? And if you watch people who are in sin, they're the same way. I'm fine, and you're looking at them spiritually. Their ears are half off, their nose is off, they're missing an arm. They're like, I feel just fine. I'm okay. Because they lose their sensitivity to the Spirit. You see, the Old Testament explains the New Testament. So, has salvation been set as a pattern in the Old Testament? Yes, let's go to the first one. Watch this. This is way too cool. Let's talk about Elijah. Elijah's sitting on top of a mountain, and he gets all these other prophets, and he gathers them together, and he says, I tell you what. Build an altar. You pick the cow, you pick the place, and y'all jump around until your God answers by fire. If he doesn't, I'll do it. And whichever God answers by fire from heaven, this has already happened in the past. He wasn't worried about it. He knew it happened. And so, sure enough, they jumped around all day, cut themselves. And I find this funny because he's like, cry a little louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe your God's on vacation. That might be why surely he's got to be real. He just must be asleep. They jumped around, act like a bunch of idiots all day. But here's what Elijah did. He rebuilt the altar. He set it up. Then he laid a sacrifice on top. Then the Bible says he took water and dumped water on it and dumped more water on it and soaked it down. And then he prayed a short prayer and fire fell from heaven and consumed it. The three things that happened were sacrifice, water, and fire. Repentance, baptism, the Holy Ghost. So what's this? So how does this explain us? Your repentance. You sacrifice yourself. You open yourself up and say, God, I am totally exposed to you. Here it is. So you can hide from a lot of things, but you can't hide from God. But he will not reveal it until you expose yourself. So here you lay yourself out, and then you baptize. It came from the Mediterranean, which had salt in it. Salt means sacrifice. We'll do that later. But there was commitment. Salt was commitment. So when you're baptized, you commit yourself to the Lord. And so when that water applied to there, you know what happened? Fire. We want the fire in our lives, and we want things to happen without the sacrifice and without the water. It's not going to happen. Watch this. Go to the next thing. Let's talk about Egypt. Here you have Moses. He said, let my people go. And they said, And finally he said, okay, enough's enough. Go away. The Bible says that they left Egypt, which was a kind of sin. You know why it's a kind of sin? Because sin will bound you and provide for you while you're bound. We even had onions over there. I hate onions. But it was so bad they wanted to go back to onions. But they left. They left. Set them free. Ain't like a bunch of us to gripe after we've been set free. And sure enough, they got there. But it wasn't until the water parted and they went through the water. You know what happened to the sin? It went in the water, but didn't come out. And then they went into a promised land. Now I love this. I'll show you a type and shadow of this. Watch. There are people that get baptized. They repent. They get baptized. And then they're like, I'm not good enough to get the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what they did, too. They said, oh, we can't get into there. We can't make it. So God made them wander around forever. That's where our seekers come from. They're like, I'm not good enough. It's not about you. Of course you're not good enough. You're all born into sin. But he's the one that's good enough. If you lay yourself out for him. You see, it's a pattern from the beginning of time. Watch this. Go to the next one. Come on, I got to finish up here. Noah, he said, get on the ark. The first time the word come was ever used in the Bible, come onto the ark, salvation. In Revelation, the last time it was ever used was come. It was always in salvation. First thing they did was boarded the ark. They left their old lifestyle and closed themselves up in a ranky, stinky place. Oh, but living for God's so joyous. Get on board. We get so closed up with each other, sometimes it's stinky up in here. You find out about all the other junk the other person's doing, and you think, oh, but it's still better than what's on the outside. I'm telling you, I'd rather be locked up with all the animals and snarling and all this than be out there in the flood. Hallelujah. That was a free one. Hold on. But here's what happened. They got on the ark. Water fell. Purged the earth. Cleansed it. I'll tell you another thing baptism does is science even says there was this great flood and the face of the earth changed. Of course it did, because water will change things. The whole face of the way you live when you get baptized, the whole face of everything in your life will shift. Continents will change. The places that you live, the places that you went will be no more. There'll be new places. There'll be new trees. There'll be new life because baptism will change the things in your life. And then they walked out of the ark, and this was the coolest thing. We get the Holy Ghost, think all of our problems are gone. No. What was up in the sky? That's right, it was still raining. How do you make a rainbow? Sun hits the rain. He didn't just throw a rainbow up there with no rain. You get out there, there's still problems. Yes. It's a whole nother world now. Because now you have a promise. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little hint. This promise isn't just for you. It's for them babies and their babies and to all those afar off. Let me throw something at you here real quick. Why is it important to know about the threes? I'll give you another one. Watch it. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and you shall receive to get the Holy Ghost. Why did he say it in that pattern? Because we know people get the Holy Ghost, they didn't get baptized. There was a reason he said it in that pattern. If you go all the way to the beginning, matter of fact, I'll show you salvation in Genesis. The Bible says he created light. Not the source of light. The sun was created later. It was the concept of light. Then he separated the light and the darkness. When God created the concept of light, it was all mixed up. And he goes, pfft. Now that's a God. Light wasn't even created. Okay, watch it. He created light. Then he created the earth. And what was on the earth? Water. And then he created life. And then later he created the source of light. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You're not your own little candlestick. No. You see them little glow-in-the-dark stars, you put it in the light. The longer it stays in contact with a main source of light and you place it in darkness, the brighter it glows. I'm telling you, you want to shine bright? Stay in a prayer room. It's not how much work you do. You stay in a prayer room. You want to shine the brightest in the service? Stay in a prayer room. You want to shine the brightest in school and work? Get to a prayer room. You get on your face before God, absorb what he's given to you and watch how bright you shine. But watch this. The Bible says, here we go. Repentance, baptism, Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved across the face of the water. Noah, the Bible says that there was water, and there was a big old boat floating on top of it. But then the wind, and if you watch, that word wind means spirit, moved across the face of the water, and the water went down. Then you have Moses. Here he stood there all day, and a wind moved across the face of the water. So all of a sudden, Peter stands up and says, you know what? If you repent, when you go down in the water, and when you come up, I promise there'll be a Holy Ghost there. It was a pattern set from the beginning of time, because the Holy Ghost always moves across the face of the water. Now, whether you're ready to receive it or not, it's your issue. Receiving it on the inside is one thing, but you ever watch somebody get baptized, and we all think it's just we're excited about it. No. If you pay real close attention, you'll feel this breeze go. All right. You know why it's so important to be baptized in Jesus' name? Have you ever seen new converts? Pastor, I'm sure you've never seen this. And they get the Holy Ghost, they get baptized in Jesus' name, they come to church. It's like, man, life's been so rough. It's been so hard. Let me tell you why. You can walk through life and they just pick on you, them spirits will. But all of a sudden, you get baptized in Jesus' name. You get the Holy Ghost. When you walk into a restaurant and stuff, they go, uh-oh. And the spirits will draw those swords. And they're like, here we go. Because, see, they didn't have to worry about you before. You had no authority. You had no power. And you had no position. But all of a sudden, then spirits draw their swords. But here's where we mess up. We fight them. We thinking. That argument that we're having at home, that struggle that we're having at work, those people picking on us at school, we all think those are physical things. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities of darkness. But watch this. Let me change your life right here. When you walk into a room, every devil in that room will draw a sword ready to attack you. Whether it's a bad waitress, whether it's bad service, no matter what the situation is, it's going to draw a sword and it's going to hack you into little pieces. It's going to come after you. But here's the difference. When you've applied the name of Jesus to your life, you can stop and stand and say, Jesus. And all those angels that stand waiting draw their swords. All right. And I can just hear them saying, bring it on. You see, because now all this power. What happened when Jesus come walking into a room? All of a sudden, the blinded eyes were opened. The deaf were healed. The Bible says that kids were resurrected. Read Matthew, man. It was all sorts of stuff. Then Matthew just got tired. Ryan says he walked in and he just healed everybody in the city. See, the difference was God was manifested in the flesh. God presented himself in flesh. What do you think the Holy Ghost is? Watch this. Man, we say people, oh, man, they had this devil. I've seen them pick up stuff and all this. I've heard people that are devil-possessed have all this transformation stuff. What do you think the Holy Ghost is? It's God possessing your body. Not some little bitty wimpy, itty little bitty amp trying to bully us around. It's God. The God that created the concept of light. The God that rules the universe. Looks and says, if you will only take charge and give me control. I'm telling you, church, if we could ever get this concept, witnessing becomes a whole different aspect. Praying for the sick is a whole different world because now it's not just doing an action. Now, if the Bible says that not only us, he's not just in us, but I want to be in him. So when you start to lay hands on the sick, before you ever touch them, God has touched them. What happens when Jesus touched somebody? Because you do not only have the Spirit of God, you have the name of Jesus. When God manifested himself on the earth, what did he have? He had flesh and the name and the Spirit. Hello? What do you think you have? Oh, man, my life is so rough. I'm having it so hard. Get over it and just call on the name of Jesus. Life is not always pretty. Life is not always good. When they crucified Jesus to the cross, it wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't jumping around. But you know what it was? It was life changing. Next time you're going through a hardship, next time you're going through problems, Jesus. Jesus. Bring it on. Bring it on. Them angels stand there. They done fought these stupid devils before. All they're waiting for you is to speak to the mountain. Say to this place. Speak it and say, God, take charge of my life. God, if you'll just take charge of this. God, if you'll take charge of my finances. God, if you'll take charge of my family. God, if you'll take charge of my prayer life. God, if you'll take charge of my work. If you'll take charge of my school. If you will help me and let me be a mouthpiece. Open the door for me to witness, God. Take charge in Jesus' name. And if my people, which are called by my name, let's stand. Musicians, come on. Here's what I want us to do. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, I beseech you. The power of the universe. You know why I'm doing this? It's a power struggle. There's no power in money. There's no power in position. There's no power in relationships. There's no power in any of these aspects, being a boss or any of this other stuff. You know where the power's at? Jesus. It's in the name. There's one name given to man where we must be saved. One name given to man. It's Jesus. And when you speak the name of Jesus, everything stands at attention. Heaven and hell both draw their swords and like there's going to be a battle. But the difference this time in the battle before is you win. Oh, sure, there's some battles here and there and some struggles and stuff and some bloodshed. Sure, but you're going to win. Oh, but my finances are such a struggle and all this is hitting. That's all right. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're paying your tithes. You're giving your offerings. 10% tithes, 5% offering. You're doing all that. You're doing all the things you're supposed to do. And when you give it to God, oh, but it's been a month now and everything's falling apart. Wait till next month. Me and my wife are doing everything we can, but just keep giving it to God. So when we take charge of things, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, it's a whole another dimension of power in the Holy Ghost. I feel like, Pastor, and the reason I taught this, I feel like there'd be somebody who's really been struggling and fighting, wanting that extra power. I have family that we've been talking to, and that I'll be talking to this week, that has been struggling and fighting for power. I had a gentleman in our church, his brother called and says, listen, I started going to a church. It was a church of God. And he says, you know, they get the Holy Ghost. That's a start. He never even went to church. This was just a shock. And then he called just the other day and says, do you have a speakerphone? Yep. He goes, I want to do a Bible study. Three or four states away, they've been praying for him. You know why? Because he gave his family to God. It's like, God, I'm going to do what I can. You do your thing. God, do touch my family. Touch my family. Touch my family. I'm telling you, you turn it over to God. You've never been baptized. You talk to pastor and he'll tell you what you can do. I'm telling you, they can get it done today, huh? Okay. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, oh, it just gets gooder and gooder. That's a whole nother spot. And I tell you what, if you've never had the Holy Ghost and you show up and you see us jumping around like this, it makes no sense. But do this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We are not shouting because of what we feel here today. And people have that misunderstanding. It's what God did for us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we're on Sunday just to give a little bit back. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. He didn't say good bless. He said bless the Lord. That's what we're doing. This is what my altar calls for. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized, I want you to come up front. But wait a minute, before you do that, church, I'm guilty. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. God, forgive me for not being nice to people through the drive-in, my waitresses, the person I walk past. There's nobody to witness to. The Walmart greeter gets paid to talk to you. There's always somebody. And there's people walking by just waiting. There's Navy SEALs struggling through a dumpster to get to God. Don't become so lax and so laid back that the simplistic message of the gospel becomes mundane. Give us something pretty. I don't think the itchy ears was for the world. I think we got to be careful that we don't get itchy ears for us. Hey, I got fun sermons with object lessons and everything else, but man, when I read this, pastor, we got to get to our foundation. And it's not even necessarily for us. It's so we can remind ourselves and refresh us to teach people. I know I'm preaching to the choir. This church even has a full-time Bible study, pastor, so I don't have to do it. No. You got to win souls. There's a difference between inviting people to church and witnessing. Inviting people to church is, would you like to go to church with me? Witnessing is, God opens an opportunity for you to tell something that God has done for you. They can argue scripture, they can argue everything else, but boy, they can't argue about your personal. So, when you're going through that struggle of sickness, what are you griping about? Now you just got something great to talk about. When you're struggling through finances, when you're in the end of it, it's like, oh, look at what God did! When your marriage is going through a little trouble, that's okay. That's why God has Brother King on the road, and you got a great pastor in these other places, and you give it to God. Then when you come out of it, it's like, let me tell you what God did for me. In my ignorance, in my stupidity, God still intervened. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, I want you up here. If you want to be baptized, you see pastor. If you do have the Holy Ghost and you want to be a greater witness than you've ever been in your life, I want you to be in these altars too. Come on, church. It's the power of three. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's the repentance, the baptism, and the Holy Ghost. It's living a godly and righteous life. It's living in a promised land, keeping it purged. It's living in a promised land, keeping our fruits, bearing wonderful fruit, and spreading the gospel, and replanting the seeds, and letting God grow in our lives. Come on, church, we got like 5 minutes. Come on. Come on, don't waste any time. Ask God, make me what you want me to be. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me with your Spirit, God. Come on, if you got the name, use it. Quit struggling. Hardship does not mean you have to struggle. Trust God. Turn it over to Him. Oh God, help us, Jesus. Make us what you want us to be. Come on, the Bible says the simplicity of the gospel. We make it too complicated. It's easy. You tell people, let's apply the name of Jesus to your life. Let's fall in love with the Maker. Let's fall in love with Jesus and draw closer to Him. Mighty God,
on solid ground. Think about you, Jesus, how you saved me, you raised me,
Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's prepare ourselves for what God has in store for us today. How he picked me up and turned me around on solid ground. This gospel will stand no matter where you're at.